God's overruling power. You will remember that among the things that we studied is the fact that the days for the elect's sake will be shortened, as we have shown, and most likely there might be answering a question relative to our coming from the lesson. More will be said about that tonight. But you remember, I pointed out that the awesome power of Rome. In the time of Rome, it was not like you have two or three or four superpower. It was just Rome. And when Rome made the decision to besiege Jerusalem, because the Jews had been a thorn in the flesh of Rome for quite many years, and the leaders there felt that enough was enough. Titus' father, this person, was the emperor of Rome. Titus was the general, and they decided to besiege the city and literally kill off, especially among the men, kill off those Jews. That's the way the Roman went. The city was besieged, slaughter took place, but Titus was called back to Rome. And therefore, the time that was planned to flatten Jerusalem, he could not be in Palestine at that time because he was called back to Rome. That time, the plan was made by the great Rome to literally demolish the Jews. So the overruling power of God intervened, so that he could not spend as much time in Palestine. But not only that, decision was made by Titus the general to save the temple of Jerusalem, because it was one of the wonders of the world. And yet, because he had to leave and go back to Rome to attend to state business, those with whom the instruction was left to save the temple, when you hear it, the temple was demolished. So Rome wanted the temple to be saved, but the Almighty God, overruling power, did not want the temple to be saved. You see, when Jesus Christ was speaking that not one stone will be left on each other of this beautiful place, when his disciple brought the beauty of the temple to his attention, Christ was talking about the destruction of the temple. In fact, let me just drop this by. The Jews could not see the temple being destroyed, and it is not judgment. So they tied up the two things. Well, Jesus Christ didn't say anything up front there at that time about his second coming. But when Jesus Christ spoke about the destruction of the temple, his disciples assumed that that must be judgment. So they tied up what Christ said, not only with the destruction of the temple, but they considered the destruction of the temple such an out of the world thing, if it's going to happen, that it must be judgment. The overruling power of the Almighty God. God Almighty often overrule man's plan to further his own divine purpose. God often does this. The Almighty God asserts supremacy over the plans and purpose of men and women in whatever station of life that man or woman is. The Almighty God asserts that he is, his plan and purpose is supreme over our plan and purpose. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. I really want from verse 1 through verse 7, but time. So just give me verse 7. This is said about Sennacherib, king of Syria. The brother is reading verse 7. Read.
Howbeit he meaneth not so.
Howbeit he meaneth not so.
Neither doth his heart think so.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few.
It is in this leader of the Syrian country at that time to destroy and cut off nation, and he did not have planned to do so with just a few other nations, but with many of them, because at this time the Syrian army and the Syrian kingdom was dominating all others. King Sennacherib was the person in charge of Syria at this time. What we have just read in verse 7 of chapter 10 of Isaiah, if you have time during the week to make a thorough study of that whole context, you will see that the Almighty God is going to intervene and literally change the plan that this king had. Wicked and evil men and women form their plan and purpose. So many times they do this as if there is no divine superintending power on this earth. Politicians do it. Rich and powerful men and women do it. We plan as if there is no God, as if there is no higher power to hinder or stop me from doing what I have in mind. But so often the Almighty God providentially, meaning work behind the scene to defeat us. God is usually there presiding over the plan of wicked men and women, permitting ungodly, wicked men and women, permitting them to carry out and execute their plan. But watch here. In carrying out and executing their plan, the Almighty God, on many occasions throughout history, the Almighty God make those human plans that was meant to boost human ego and pride and power the Almighty God sometimes divert them to bring glory to the Almighty God. Should I stop naming from the Pharaoh of Egypt to the Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to the Herod of Palestine? So often God intervened behind the scene. The Rome was such a great, awesome power. And they, when Titus had to return to Rome to attend to state business, they would never have imagined that the Almighty God was intervening in their plan to demolish, to wipe out the Jews and the Christian in the city. They would never imagine that the great God was working there. But here, oftentimes, as I've said, in fact, of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Let us hear it.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things.
According to the purpose of him
who worketh all things.
Who work all things
after the counsel of his own will.
Whatever happened in this universe, whatever happened on this earth, don't ever feel that things get out of God's hand. Nothing gets out of God's hand. Wait. No, a lot of times we feel that things get out of hand. What is going on in Ukraine now? It grieves the heart of every one of us who sometimes see children dying, people have made sacrifice to build up their lives and home and raise their family, and just almost overnight a wicked and evil man feel that he wants to expand this power. And why does the world permit it? Why does God permit it? And he's so powerful. So sometimes it appears to us that things have gotten out of everybody's hand. But it never gets out of God's hand. Please remember that. It doesn't matter how it seems to you and me. The passage just read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says that the Almighty God work out all things according to what?
The counsel of his will.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful when we align our lives with God's will? Because all things going to work out the way God wants it to. As I was saying, that oftentimes the schemes and plan of wicked and ungodly men and women resulted in fulfilling God's plan and purpose. Wait, even though they did not intend it, so even though ungodly men and wicked men and women, they did not even have God in their calculation when they were making their plan. But the Almighty God intervened so many times and make sure that even though God was absent from their mind, the evil plans that they are making will come out to serve God's purpose and God's glory. the evil schemes and the evil plans of ungodly men and women turn out to God's glory, or that it turns out to God's glory, does not change the fact that these evil actors are judged on the basis of their evil plan, not on the basis of the good that God turned it out to be. It's very important that we get this. When ungodly men, women, world over, be they people high up or people low down, when they make plan with no calculation of God being included, they don't even remember, some of them don't even believe there is a God, and they make plan that full of evil and wrong, that God take their plan and divert it to his own glory and to serve the purpose of his people. These wicked and ungodly actors will be judged not on the good that God bring out of their plan. They will be judged according to the evil that they had in mind. Evil and ungodly men and women are judged on their evil intention, not on the outcome that came about by God's overruling. And what I'm saying here is that a good may result from an evil plan that an ungodly person had. The good does not in any way bring blessing to that evil man or woman. It was the overruling power of the Almighty God that resulted in good coming from it, not the intention of that evil person. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Start from verse 14.
And Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father.
Read.
And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said...
That is when Joseph's brother... Watch here. When Joseph's brother... Remember, when Jacob was informed that his son Joseph was still alive, umpteen years after he spent, I imagine, days, months, and probably years mourning for his son, that he was eaten up by some wild beasts, while it was his other wicked sons that sold their brother. When everything was partially or to some great extent straightened out, and the entire family was brought down into Egypt where Joseph was governed, Jacob, the father, finally passed, died, and was taken back to his hometown and be buried. Conscience, you know, the Almighty God placed a fuse in us. A fuse is a safety valve. In electrical insulation, you use a fuse to cut off the current when there is something in the circuit somewhere that will burn up the whole place. So the circuit breaker is a good thing. Well, the Almighty God put that in us, you know, it's called conscience. That's right. Joseph's brothers, after these many years, Joseph treating them royally. They're exposed to all the good things of Egypt because Joseph was probably second to Pharaoh. When their daddy died, their conscience, that safety evolved in us. They begin to fret. Because they remember the evil they did to him. But watch here now. In fact, read a little more before I illustrate, brother.
And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph would peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.
He's going to take revenge on us for the evil we did to him. Well, that evil was 18 years ago. And Joseph had nothing like that in mind. Read, brother.
And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin.
From all indication, their daddy didn't leave any such message. That's right. But that is old Jacob. Didn't leave any such message as far as we know. But this grew out of fear. They were afraid that, because watch your brothers and sisters. Out of jealousy and envy. Well, jealousy is envy. Envy is jealousy. Get this. Because you see, why we need to understand that is that jealousy and envy is common today. It is one of the most anti-God sin. The Bible says wherever you have envy, you have all manner of sin. They were jealous of their younger brother, Joseph, when they were all picnic. He loved them. He trusted them. But watch here. The working of the Almighty God is something to just study about, to look on how it works. The Almighty God, 18 years before it happened, knew that there would be famine in that entire region of the Middle East. God knew that. The Almighty God has always valued his servants. You know the business that for the elect's sake, for the Christian, the faithful Christian's sake, God will do certain things. The Almighty God has always specially looked up. Wait. While the Almighty God loves all men and women, because he sends rain both on the just and on the unjust, but God has a special place for those who have committed their lives to him. He has always. So watch here now, when the Almighty God realized that nature going to produce a famine in the whole of Palestine, the Almighty God, watch here, the Almighty God is now making provision to take care of the need of his servant Jacob's household. Wait, Brother Mitchell, what you're saying to me? Of the thousands of people that live in the world, in hundreds of thousands or millions, God have his mind just on Jacob. That was God's main focus. To make sure that there is food for Jacob and his family. Wait, other people, even men and women like the Egyptian who didn't believe. In fact, the Egyptian, they had so many gods. That's right, Egypt was an idolatrous place. Even they would benefit because of Jacob. So the Almighty God wanted to get somebody down in Egypt to control the agricultural product so that his servant Jacob's household would be fed throughout these many years of famine. But do you know who entered the picture? Satan. Satan, no doubt, knew of God's plan. So Satan entered the picture through Jacob's brother. Are you following me? Or are you not? Enter the picture through Joseph's brother. Envy, jealousy, hate, that caused them to hate their brother. Sold him a slave. God was not a part of that. But God going to work through that and around that. Well, God did not stop them selling him. God did not stop they putting him, throw him in a pit. But God worked through that. Because God's goal and objective is to get Joseph to control the agricultural product. That is the wealth of Egypt. Then after they sold him from one person to the other, he end up at Potiphar's house. Am I right? And she, now Potiphar was high up in authority, big dog. His wife made advance at Joseph. And because of his integrity, he ran away. And her pride was hurt. And she lied on him. What and what he did? Wait. Brother Mitchell, why God didn't just work some miracle and let it be known that it was a lie? And why him permit Joseph to suffer so much? You see, it's a sin. A fellow human being that permit Joseph to suffer. But watch here, that did not overthrow God's plan. God was working through the lie of Potiphar's wife. The man Joseph end up in prison. And even in prison, the Almighty God was there with Joseph. We talk about the overruling of God and how God worked. And in prison, Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. Huh? The things that he interpreted came to pass, and when this particular prisoner was released and get to the palace where he was working, it seems if one of them was ungrateful, he forgot either the butler or one of them. Forgot the kindness of Joseph. But do you know, brothers and sisters, even in that ingratitude of that butler, however, even in that forgetfulness to remember the kindness Joseph did to him and to make a recommendation, God was still working around that. Nothing going to circumvent God's plan. All that we see Joseph went through, that was Satan in the picture. Using ungodly men and women, even Joseph's brothers. And God was working around, through, and by them to achieve his glory. And to still place Joseph where the Almighty God wanted him to be placed. Let me hear the rest of those few verses there, brother. It was chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. You had started at 14.
And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us.
Joseph will perhaps hate us. You see, he had all reason to hate them. But that was far from Joseph's mind. Read.
And will certainly requite.
That means he's going to take revenge on us. Read on.
Us all the evil which we did unto him.
You see, they acknowledge that they had done him evil. Read on.
And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God.
They are pleading to their brother. Keep in mind that Joseph was their younger brother. At this time he was governor of Egypt. Read on.
Forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him.
You get the point there? Don't move, brother. Don't move from the passage. You know, it reached to Joseph in an emotional way. Why? That was the farthest thing from his mind. He had no bitterness in his mind against them. Read on.
And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said,
Wait. We are willing to be anything. Of course, remember that Joseph was probably second only to the Pharaohs. Read on.
And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you...
Wait. It's a wonderful thing when a man or a woman have God. When the power, the might, the word of God lives in that person's mind. Because it makes all the difference. When he said, am I God? That is to take bitter revenge and all of that. No, that's not my place. Read on, brother.
But as for you, you thought evil against me.
Wait. You see? But he's not going to play the hypocrite either. You see? Joseph is reminding them. And you see, we come to this point where I repeat what I've been saying, that the Almighty God throughout human history, when evil men, wicked men and women make their plan and their scheme, the Almighty God has a way of working through, working with, or working by, working over those wicked schemes to achieve his own divine glory and purpose. We must ever be reminded of that. Read that again, brother, that little part there.
But as for you.
As for you.
Ye thought evil against me.
Uh-huh.
But God meant it unto good.
You hear? As God transformed. Wait. That I end up being governor of Egypt is to no plan or intent of yours. You intend, in fact, if everything was left according to your plan, I would die dozens of years ago and rot. But the Almighty God has a way of intervening and overruling man's evil and wickedness. Read it.
To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive.
To save, what verse is that?
Verse 20.
Huh?
Verse 20.
The Almighty God want to save much people alive. I think there's a little more there.
Now therefore, fear ye not.
Don't be afraid.
I will nourish you and your little ones.
I will take care of you and your little ones. Read.
And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them.
Isn't that wonderful? What a power love is. There's a verse there where he's going to tell them that God did send him down to Egypt to feed them. So all that we see Joseph went through for years, thrown in pit, sold as a slave, and what all of that, God did not bring those evil, but God worked through them. God worked over them. God worked around them because no human being, however powerful, can hinder the plan and the purpose of God. Run to the book of Psalm 76 and verse 10 for me. Psalm 76 and verse 10. Read it for me. Let us hear it.
Surely, the wrath of man shall praise thee.
You hear that? Man's vexation that usually bring a lot of wrong, that God can divert to praise him. The wrath of man shall praise thee.
The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain.
So God can use man's negative to bring about divine positive. There is, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there is a superintending power, divine power in the world, in the universe. Things appear to us at times as if no one is in charge. Things appear to us as if there is no controlling power on earth. Right now, it's like there is universal anarchy. Anarchy is a system whereby everybody does what he or she wants. And I come back again to what is happening in Ukraine. I myself ask why one man is permitted to create so much hell, so much evil, so much suffering for so many people who have never done him any wrong. Why this allow? Sometimes you wish, even though you know how God acts, Sometimes you wish that God would do something. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, don't always expect God to jump in our human problem, because that would take away human responsibility. I wish we have time to go more in that. God make us morally responsible human beings. That I, as a political leader, rob my country and cause thousands or millions of my fellow countrymen to starve to death, not because of lack of resource, but because I have exploited those resources selfishly. That God permit that to happen, don't blame God. It's the human responsibility. So lot of the evil in the world that we want to call God, God come down and do something now. God is saying to us, no, I left that up to you. Take care of it. But watch here. It doesn't matter how you see things going. It will never get out of God's hand. Oh, Lord. That we may feel that nobody is in charge. The people of Israel once felt like that. Run to the book of Judges, chapter 17. Verse 6 and 21, 25. Judges 17, 6 and chapter 21, 25.
In those days, there was no king in Israel.
There was no king in Israel.
But every man did that which was right in his eyes.
That's anarchy. That's anarchy, where everybody is a law unto him or herself. That is never good. So much so, this was that the same thing is repeated in chapter 25, 21 and verse 25. That's the end of the book of Judges. The same thing is repeated. Let us hear it.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Sometimes in our very own country, where it seems the gunmen are in control, you get up every day and you hear how many people got shot here and there, and some of the viciousness. And sometimes we wonder, is anybody in charge? As I've said, what we have just read here in the book of Judges is a time when Israel felt like that. Brothers and sisters, God was still in charge. It seems to Israel then that nobody was in charge. And that's why the writer of the book of Judges have those two verses, a different part of the book of Judges, to express the feeling and the atmosphere then, that nobody was in charge. God was. Is anybody in charge of the world now? Or is it Putin and the Russian army? Brothers and sisters, you know, the United Nations was formed to deal with situations just like we see going on in Eastern Europe. Now, after the last World War, that's how comes the Allies decided to form the United Nations. But here is a man killing off so many people, and it's like everybody's hands tied. God's hand is not tied. You never ever make that mistake that God's hands are tied. Don't ever believe when you see the gunmen acting in our borders like they are in charge. No. Sometimes the Almighty God permit evil to have a free run. But it never gets out of God's hand. There is a superintending divine power in the world, and things never get out of hands or out of control for the Almighty God. I'm trying to come down to the end, but it's so difficult coming down to the end of this lesson. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 7 through 9. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 7 through 9.
And at the time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah.
The seer is God's prophet. Read.
And said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria.
Wait, brother. Yes, you have the right passage. It's just that I want us to make sure we get it. Start again.
And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah.
Or Asa, whatever you are, Asa, Asa. Read, brother, the king of Judah.
And said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God.
Everybody hear that? We are not true with this passage, brother, holy. You see, too often in life we focus on the wrong thing. There's little more to learn from this, what God is saying to King Asa of Judah. But what you get here when the Almighty God told Asa, king over his people, over the two tribes, that he trusts in
on the king of Syria.
The king of Syria, that was Ben-Hadad. He trusts the king of Syria because another kingdom was planning war against Israel. And instead of the Israelite king learning to trust God, he was putting his trust in the Gentile. Wait. The takeaway for you and me is that we must make sure in life we don't put trust in the wrong direction. Our money, our this, our that, because they will fail. But God never, read on a little further, brother.
And not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand.
Wait. Yeah. That's how comes the Syrian escape from you. That is, the Syrian are your enemy. They are your threat. They are setting out to destroy you. And when they were put in a place where you could conquer them, they escaped because you trust in the wrong thing. Read on. What verse are you?
Verse 8.
Read on, brother.
Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, which very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivereth them.
I want you to get this, and this is why. I didn't want to end the lesson and so many times. I don't plan to come back to a lesson. And the lesson here, first, the Almighty God pointed out that King Asa of Judah had placed his trust and faith in the wrong person. And you and I can relate to that, because that's part of our problem. You see, we have total commitment to so many worldly things and very little commitment to Christ, Christianity, and the church. We trust in so many worldly, material things, and very little trust. And this is why a lot of time when crises come in our lives, we cannot handle it. Because our trust has been placed in the wrong thing or wrong person. The Almighty God asks King Asa here of Judah to reflect and to make a moral use of his memory. Wait. You see, not long from here, King Asa had confronted the Ethiopian army that was as enormous as an army could. And King Asa was victorious. In fact, you have just read around verse 8 or 9 there. Quick.
For the eyes of the Lord.
No, not that. Verse 8.
Were not the Ethiopian. And the Libyans. A huge host,
mm-hmm.
with very many chariots and
mm-hmm.
horsemen.
It was a huge host with very many chariots. Huh?
Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand.
Watch here now. Run to it, brother. That is chapter 14, verse 8 through 12. Just run to that. This is what the brother is reading in chapter 14, verse 8 through 12, is what God, because this took place some time ago, and God is, we talk about making a moral use of your memory. Let your memory be used wisely and properly, and it will help you. Not only remember how much you have in the bank. That's right. But remember the different challenge that God had successfully taken you through 3 years ago. The obstacle that the Almighty God through Christ helped you to overcome 5 years ago. Recall them. That will strengthen your faith for the challenge that you face today. That's what God is asking King Asa to do. Remember the size of the Ethiopian army some time ago, but because you trusted in me, read now, brother, where you stop for.
And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears,
mm-hmm.
out of Judah 300,000,
mm-hmm.
and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows,
mm-hmm.
204,000.
That is 300,000 out of Judah, and 280?
204,000.
Yes, that is 280,000 out of Benjamin. Now. Uh-huh. That is Asa. This is telling you about the army that he used to fight the Ethiopian. Watch now the size of the Ethiopian army. Watch here.
All these were mighty men of valor.
Uh-huh. Read.
And there came out against them Zara the Ethiopian,
mm-hmm.
with a host.
Notice the Ethiopian is also referred to as the Cushite. Read on.
Mm-hmm. With a host of 1,000,000.
1,000,000. Oh my God, that's 1,000,000. Huh? That's 1,000,000. You know what surprised me? This was about 900 BC. How can an army at that time in human civilization, when the world was not as populated, how one country, Ethiopia, could have an army that big? But the Ethiopian army was 1,000,000. That's just the army. And they have about 300 armored vehicles. That's chariot. Read that, brother.
And 300 chariots.
Uh-huh.
And came unto Marishash.
Uh-huh.
Then Asa went out against him.
Look here. I didn't want you to go home and not hear these words of faith, words of trust. You see, the Almighty God in chapter 16, the brother is still at 14, is asking King Asa to remember this. We must always look back on the different challenge and obstacle and things that we would fret over that God took us through successfully, so that that will strengthen our faith for the problem we are now facing. That's what God is doing here. Let me hear it, brother.
Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord.
That's
his
what
God.
I want, brother. I love this. But you know what? How can a man who had trusted God so much, just probably a year or two or 3 years ago, you face a army, much less now, and you trust in the wrong thing? But that's a lesson for us. A lot of time, different things can undermine our faith. But remember the overruling power of the Almighty God. So Asa cried to God, and listen his word.
And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help.
It is nothing with you. It's no big thing, Almighty God, for you to help.
Whether with many or with them that have no power.
Isn't that wonderful? Don't move. You know, we look on size. Huh? We look on enough. Brothers and sisters, whatever the issue you face in life, whatever you have at hand, God can use it. If you are a child of God. That's what God is saying. And Asa is acknowledging the right thing, that God, you are able to save, not only with a big army, but with few. Read, brother.
Whether with many or whether with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee.
Isn't that wonderful? So this is what the Almighty God, what the brother is reading is chapter 14. But we were at chapter 16, where the Almighty God was chastising Asa for trusting in the Gentile army. Again, as we close this lesson, there's so much more to share. As we close this lesson, remember, among the takeaway is that the Almighty God often permit wicked and godly men and women to make their plans. The Almighty God, on many occasions, enter the picture and work through these evil plans, these evil scheming. Sometimes these plan and scheming is against God's people. Sometimes it is against a Christian. God worked through them to bring the result he wants, to bring glory to his name. We must never forget that. We must never forget that even what we see going on in the world today, God is still in charge. Things never get out of God's hand. And as Christian, we must let our memory become that moral compass that reminds us that, yes, I have faced things like this already, and God led me through. God is telling Asa to remember this. Your army was just about 500,000. This man was 1,000,000 plus the chariot, yet you were victorious. Shouldn't you use that Asia to strengthen you and to strengthen your faith? The overruling power of the Almighty God. Don't ever let any situation that goes on in the world make you feel that God is asleep, or that things get too awesome for God. Nothing can overrule the power and the awesomeness of God. God asked the question to Abraham, is anything too hard for God? If you're here today, you can cast your lot with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is he who will work all things according to his plan and purpose. God's plan and purpose, they are immutable. They are not going to be changed or be altered because human beings do not like them. What God plan, that is going to be done. You can become a child of God today. You know what, too? Of course, that will come up in one of the answers tonight. About the backslider repentance. Being saved is not just calling upon God. Being saved is a way of life. It's not everyone that saith unto me, but he that practice my will. You can take Jesus Christ up on the cross today. How do you do that? Yes, there is a way to do that. There is a way to become a Christian. A way that is not made by man. We only teach it. And that is, you must be taught. Taught what? Just the basic, that Christ died for your sin at Calvary. And that without Jesus Christ, there is no way you can get forgiveness. So you must accept him as your Lord. How do you accept him? Believe in him. And making a decision to repent of your sin. To confess faith in him and to get baptized for the removal of your sin. Today, as we sing, you can step forward and give Jesus Christ your life. Christ calls you now, and he calls you in grace, he calls you in love, he calls you in patience. Don't refuse to answer his call. If you are a child of God who has backslidden and have grown weak, there's no better time than now to remake a recommitment to Jesus Christ. As we stand, Christ calls.
Song number three. Number three.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout thy universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then
The God that is so great that he will take the evil scheming of men and women, work through them, and bring his own glory out of it.
Amen, amen.
And bring benefit to his people out of it. Give your life to Jesus Christ now.
Amen.
You need Christ. So we are not here debating that. You need Christ more than you need anything else. You can come today with the desire to turn from your sin, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the removal of your sin. And we are here to help you. Come now as we sing. Christ comes.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sings my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble nation and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how